Hello.
Hey, remind me, is this podcast deep opinions on shallow topics or shallow opinions on deep topics?
It's everything. It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you feel deep, shallow, or just plain petty,
take a ride through life with us. Matt and Tara, we chronicle it all.
Tell me the whole story, start from the beginning. What were you wearing?
Whether we are tackling aging, friendships, our spouses,
Hubba and Banana are the two luckiest people on earth.
Or any other of life's fun, we have different takes, but one goal. Get ready to laugh, shake your head, and wonder where our mothers went wrong.
I'm a 30-year-old woman, and I am still terrified of my mother.
Get in and hold on.
It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara, and listener discretion definitely advised. Hey, hey, welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you're feeling deep or you're feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host. He owns a boat, but he swears he's not a swinger, Mr. Matt Hanley.
What's going on?
How's it going?
Tara, it's going well. It's going well. We always like to start the show, you know, kind of checking in.
Absolutely.
On our mental health and kind of where we're, what kind of frame of mind we're in.
And you never know with the two of us.
That's right. It can be all over the board. So with that in mind, we always go with a score of 0 to 10. Tara, where are you at today and why?
You know, I'm feeling really good today. And I'll tell you why. I'm feeling like a 9. The reason I'm feeling like a 9 was because my parents were just in town this
Absolutely.
Weekend.
Yep.
And I got a lot of help with the baby. Hubba is still out of town. And just having that little extra sleep, that little extra help, it really put some pep in my step.
Good.
And
good.
So I'm feeling good. I feel set for the week. I have a clean house. I have a full fridge. I love when parents visit.
Yeah.
Everything is just, it's so much better.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what about you? Where are you at?
Tara, I'm a solid 10.
Wow, a 10.
I'm a 10. I'm riding high from something that I did earlier this week that I don't normally do.
Okay, well, I didn't think we were going to talk about that kind of thing on the podcast.
No. This is a non-sexual story.
And it got you to a 10.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes,
I need to know everything. Start from the beginning. What were you wearing?
Okay, so we have a new pastor at our church and a wonderful lady. And we were asked if we would host this little meeting, kind of a get-to-know-you meeting for the new pastor. So there's about 20 or so people that get invited to this. And one of the couples we're pretty good friends with. So earlier in the week, in the middle of the week, on a Tuesday night, we have this meeting. And the meeting is supposed to last from like 6:30 to 8. And it's effectively just kind of her getting to know her and, you know, her kind of telling us some visions for the church and this, that, and the other. And so we had, you know, hors d'oeuvres and wine and, you know, and all this. Well, so there were like 20 people invited, but like half didn't show. You know, it's in the middle of the week, kids.
Sure. Also.
The bulk of the group leaves except for this other couple, and we just start hanging out and we all enjoy wine, and there was a bunch of wine left over. So we sit at the counter there in the kitchen, and Tara, all of a sudden I look up and there are 9 empty bottles of wine strewn about the
9
kitchen.
Empty bottles of wine between 4 people, like the two couples.
Well, now some of the wine was consumed like earlier in the during the actual meeting.
You know, how much of the wine was consumed earlier?
I don't know. I wasn't keeping track. There was no 2-drink minimum or anything. But I mean, it was probably at least a bottle of it got drank by.
Okay, so 1 out of the 9 was consumed by the other guests.
Probably, yeah, that's probably fair. And so, and we had great conversation. We're laughing and I mean, telling stories, and it was so much fun. Just, it's one of those things that you ever have one of those unexpected great nights. Like,
sure. Where,
I mean, this was supposed to be just the most mundane Tuesday night ever. Like, you know, we're gonna have this meeting and then they're gonna leave. We'll catch a show and then we're in bed. But then, you know, just, you know, everybody's, you know, you just have this, like this, the moons align, if you will, or whatever. And then the stars align. So the stars align and you have this, like this great conversation. And then I look up and it's 1:15 in the morning
on a Tuesday night,
now Wednesday morning.
Okay. I just want to point out to our listeners that we've done a podcast on aging where we talk about your 40th birthday.
Correct.
And even on the night of your 40th birthday, we did not make it to 1:15.
You are damn straight.
You are
exactly right.
That is so crazy.
Yes. So I can't do it on my 40th birthday, but on a random Tuesday night, I'm finding 115, no problem.
I mean, hey.
So that got me to a 10 because I just love it when you have like an unexpected, like awesome night that you didn't, you know, I don't know. Just it was a great.
The spontaneous.
Yes, the spontaneous,
you know, aspect
great
of
night.
It all.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's what put me on a 10. So, yeah.
Well, that's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, what's on the show today?
So today we're going to talk about parenting and co-parenting. And we're going to give it kind of, you know, our spin, our shallow spin, make it comical. And the title for the show today is Raising Trolls.
So let's just clarify this for the listeners. We are going to talk real talk on parents. We know how parenting, we know how it goes. We know how hard it is.
We know the real struggle.
Mad respect for anybody and everybody who is parenting, step-parenting, adoptive parenting, all of the parenting. But today, we're going to laugh about it. We're going to make fun of some stuff. And we're going to kind of revel in the misery of some of the parenting that we have to endure.
Absolutely. All we're right. going to co-miserate.
Co-miserate.
I Here like we go. It.
All right.
All right. So when it comes to raising my daughter, I do not want to be one of those parents who tries to live through her.
Excellent.
That being said, I do not feel like I have a lot of lofty ambitions for her. I really do want her to go on her own path.
So you're keeping the expectations reasonable in your mind?
In my mind.
Okay.
And let me tell you what they are.
All right.
I want her to be kind to others.
Sure.
I want her to be responsible.
Okay.
I want her to be a hard worker.
Okay.
And don't marry an asshole.
Oh, yes.
Those, that's all I want. That's all I want out of life. Other than that, you do you, girl. You live your life. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm here for it. Just keep it in those.
Yeah.
In those bounds.
Simple boundaries.
I think so.
Okay. Simple expectations. All right.
However, there are a couple things I do want her to avoid. The first one being, I do not want her to be involved in the Bachelor franchise in any capacity. No Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. None of that.
But you don't think that that's hard work?
No.
Do you think they get paid on that show?
I don't know if they get paid by the show, but I think they get a lot of type endorsement type stuff after the fact.
Oh, so there's some ancillary. Okay.
Yes, income. But I don't want her to make a living dating on television.
Okay.
If it were up to me,
if
I had to choose.
Okay.
The next thing I don't want for her is for her to dance on any elevated surface. Not professionally, not for fun. I would love for you to dance. You dance, girl. You dance all day, but with both feet on the ground.
So you think there is a stigma or something that comes with women who dance on tables? Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you're probably right. I was
and from
sure
a woman
where you were coming from,
who has danced on a table or two.
What? Wow.
I prefer for her to not follow in those footsteps. Now, just to be clear, I have never danced professionally in any capacity. I just want that to be out there. But I have had those college nights where I've had a little too much to drink and, you know, I get up on the bar and dance a little bit. I've also unfortunately had that moment at a girlfriend's bachelorette party where a bunch of us got up on the bar. One, I was way too old to be acting that way. Two, I cannot even dance. Like, I don't know what I was thinking.
What you're saying is you did not successfully reenact the scene from Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, there may have been some ugly, but there was no coyote going on. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. That being said, I don't want that for
learn
for
from
me.
Your mistakes.
Learn from my mistakes.
Do not
sis.
Dance on tables.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're 2.5-ish years into this, and I have already failed on the dancing on table.
Oh, no.
This kid sees a table. She wants up there to start dancing. She sees a park bench. She sees anything with some elevation. She wants to get up there. She wants to shake it. She wants to do it. Okay, so the name of our episode is Raising Trolls. And I think that the idea of trolling, being trolled,
yes.
you know, trolling others is, it just goes hand in hand with parenting.
With,
it's
yes,
just
with
constant.
Kids. Yes, they are here to troll you.
And be dancing on tables is one of her favorite ways to troll me.
Okay. All right.
She knows every time she will sneak up on anything she sees that will get her a little bit off the ground. And then she starts dancing, looking dead at me. So an example of this.
Okay.
We're visiting my grandmother.
All right.
Hub is there. My parents are there. Grandma's there. She has a coffee table. B gives me a little side eye action. She's in her jams. Bedtime's coming up. She's not going down without a fight. So she starts prancing over to the coffee table. I do not know, but she spider monkeyed her way onto this coffee table. Just starts dancing. And I said, B, get off the table. No. Keeps dancing. So it's the end of the day. I'm tired. My sure. parenting level goes way down when I'm tired. I'm just going to admit it.
I would think everybody's parenting level takes a hit after 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's pretty much a free for all at that point. So I'm like, you know what? Just let her dance. Everyone else thinks it's cute. No one else is living the nightmare in your brain of your child's dancing on tables.
Because you are equating this behavior to fast forward 2 decades. She is at a bar
dancing on the table
or yes. on the bar itself.
Okay, yes, so this absolutely.
Is, okay.
So I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to fight this battle tonight. So she stares at me the whole time, knowing what she's doing. So then she starts adding items. Let me get a stuffed animal up on this table. Let me get a magazine. So the table's starting to get crowded. And so now I'm worried that she's going to fall off and hurt herself. And if you think I'm too tired to tell my kid to get off the table because she's dancing on it, I am definitely too tired to be going to the emergency room night
yes.
because she fell off and busted her head open.
Right.
So I kind of lay down the law. B, off the coffee table now. She looks at me dead ass in the eye, starts shaking her finger at me. No, mama, you go time out. I'm sorry. Do you think she's ever told me to get in timeout in front when it's just me and her? Oh, no, no, no. She's waiting for a crowd to see that she's going to tell me to go get
in timeout. No question.
So now it doesn't matter how tired I am. Now I have all these people looking at me thinking, okay, well, we can't let her get away with this type of behavior. No one cared when she was dancing on the table. That behavior was fine. But her yelling at me, now I got to react.
So really this escalated when your pride became... When your pride got put
on. No, it wasn't about my pride. It was about me being, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was my pride, but I was like, well, I can't let all these people know that I would just typically let this slide.
I can't let these people know the truth. They'll think less of me.
Yes, I can't let these people know what type of parent I really am.
I gotta really act this out.
Exactly. So I hop up, you know, snag her off the table, the night ends. The next day, I'm sure she got on a table and started dancing. But that's one of her favorite ways to troll me. Her other favorite way of trolling me is by calling me Tara. Dada is Dada, and Grandma is Grandma.
Yeah.
And Papa is Papa. But me, I'm Tara.
Yep.
And only when we're out in public or other people are around. Tara, I'm hungry. I'm like, my name's not Tara. It's Mommy. No. It's Tara.
Wow. You know what's crazy about that is, so my niece, who she's 16 now, but when she was, you know, B's age, she also called my sister. So we pretty much all of my siblings have nicknames kind of within the family. And one of my sister's nicknames is Super J. We've always called her that. And I don't know why, where that came from, but that's what we always called her. And that's what a lot of people call her. But my niece would do the same thing, would call her Super J. And like, finally, it got to the point where my sister was able to corral it into Mama J instead of Super J. That was as far as she could get. And to this day, that's what my niece calls my sister, is Mama J.
That is so funny. I mean, and you know, I don't know why, but everyone thinks it's funny that she's calling me Tara.
Of course it's funny.
Especially Hubba. He thinks it's hilarious. There's been a couple times where she has called him by his name and all of a sudden it's a lot less funny.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting? But yeah, so if you see a sassy little 2-year-old walking around yelling at Tara, that would be B.
That would be B.
That's B.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids ever troll you, Matt?
Yes, they troll me, but it is funny. One of my favorite trolling stories, though, is my youngest and the banana. So I'm in a co-parenting situation. So So the banana is actually their stepmom, and she and my youngest are like, they are the same person. And so they troll each other pretty strongly. But I will never forget, the youngest always takes his lunch, and Banana does a great job of always making sure they have what they want for lunch. I mean, she's super, you know, accommodating when it comes to that stuff. So one day, and this must have been around Halloween, because I don't know why we would have had the candy otherwise, but she, like, as a special treat, like, put in some M&Ms into his lunch bag. So he gets home from school, and we're doing homework and whatever, and then, like, a little bit later, he comes strolling through the kitchen, and you can tell when he's about to troll, because he has a different walk.
Oh, they get a look in their eye.
Yes, they have a walk, they have a, I mean, it's just a different, you know something's coming. That's yes. How I know they're about to troll. And so I hear him say, just so you know, that was how he started the...
Just so you're aware.
Yes, just so you know.
That little shit.
And that is exactly what she said. She was like, ugh. And he says, just so you know, please don't put any more M&Ms in my lunch bag or my lunch sack. They make me a target. Okay.
What?
First of all, this kid does not go to like an inner city, you know, like school. You
I'm
know,
sure
with
it has nothing to
criminals.
Do with the fedora and suspenders you have on, dude. It's the M&Ms.
He said that it makes him a target because people will steal his lunch or his M&Ms out of the lunch or whatever. And so he would appreciate it if she just would not put, you know, M&Ms in his lunch so it doesn't, he's no longer a target. Well, let me assure you, that kid has not gotten anything sweet in his lunch sack since then. She was like, okay, that's fine.
You can play this game.
Yeah. It is so different now, parenting kids compared to when we were kids. And even there's a difference between when you were growing up and I was growing up. When I was growing up, I walked a mile and a half between my house and my best friend's house. And literally, I called my mom at work when I left. And then I called my mom at work when I got there. Like, I mean, and walked. Like, there was no big deal. When I was in fourth grade, the same age as my youngest, I rode the school bus home. And I was a latchkey kid. So I had my own key to the house. Like, what's something? I swear, my youngest would get hit by a car. I mean, I was dropping him off at art the other day. So this is a true story, and this kid is so incredibly bright, but I'm telling you, sometimes the common sense is crazy. Now, one day I drop him off, and it's at a woman's home. She's a retired art teacher, and so drop him off at her home, I'm sorry. So I pull up, but the way I end up getting there, her house, he's got to cross the street to go to her house. So I pull up at art. Now, this child has gone to the same teacher at the same house for roughly a year. No, 18 months. Anyway, so I see him get out. He's in the back seat, of course. He hops out of the back passenger seat. And so I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I never see him cross the street. So then I turn around and look, and I don't see him. So I panic. And then here he comes. This fool has gone into the wrong house. He went into the house across from Miss Pam's and, you know, and is in the wrong, has gone to the wrong door. And then he's walking back, just, you know, all smiles, just laughing at himself or whatever. He has to cross the street when we go home. We always end up parking on the other side of the street. When he goes to art, he has to cross the street. So like he ends up crossing the street a lot. And so like I just try to ingrain it. Like, you've got to watch for cars. So then on a separate occasion, I drop him off and I was like, okay, when you get out of the car, cross in front of the truck and watch for traffic. And if there's cars coming, you have to wait until they pass. Okay, fine. Well, at this kind of time, there is a lot of traffic because people are coming to drop, you know, kids off and pick them up, whatever. Fine. So he gets out and he's walking in front of the truck, waving and looking at me and smiling, and is literally about to walk into traffic. And and his brother's in the truck with me, and I'm like, we're gonna lose him getting hit by a car. Like, this is crazy. And his brother just shakes his head, like, I have no idea what he's doing. The kid is so bright, but yet, I mean, it's like, how many times did I tell you to look for a large rolling object that could plow you over?
I had to text someone the other day and ask them, how many times can your child hit their head before they become a serial killer?
Yeah.
I mean, B is young. But the amount of things she walks into,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
girlfriend,
yeah,
Look where you're going.
It doesn't seem to be that difficult, but it is, because I guess there's just so many other things to look at that looking straight in front of you is difficult. So, I mean, kids deserve to also be trolled.
Sure. Like,
I mean, that should be part of the perks of being a parent, is to be able to troll your own kids.
I look forward to when B is old enough where I can troll her back.
Yeah, because right now she's not going to understand it. But when they get older, they know when they're being trolled.
Girl, payback. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So who else trolls you when it comes to parenting?
And you know, that's the thing, is the trolling doesn't always come just from the kid.
Oh, yeah.
The
for
trolling
sure.
comes from everywhere else.
Yes.
I mean, as an example, the other day I was on the phone with my mom, and
moms are great at trolling.
Moms
about
are
parenting.
Great at trolling. It's
boy, how they forget. That's what I like to point out.
So I'm on the phone with her. I just put B down, and she said, "Oh, you know, you're so great at getting her, you know, down for bed." And I was like, "Oh, look at this moment of my mom giving me a
little praise,
compliment,
little praise."
Yeah, I'm just soaking it up.
Yeah.
And she's like, "If you're so good at sleep training, why are you so bad at potty training?" Womp womp. Like,
wah.
There goes that sweet moment that I was savoring. I was like, "Oh, well." And then, you know, I came up with some explanation. I don't even remember it, but I was just like, okay, well, that was nice.
So my mother also, especially when the kids were younger, she trolled me a lot. And like, it's funny how your parents, once they become grandparents, all of a sudden stuff's a lot bigger deal when it has to do with the grandkids than it did when, you know, as when we were kids. My parents, when I was a kid, I rode the school bus home in fourth grade to an empty house. I had my own key, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Now, my mother would not let my youngest ride a bus, much less like home to an empty house. Like, that's like the biggest deal. Like, she would never take me to the doctor unless I was, I mean, really, really sick. But one of the kids will be like, you know, a sniffle or wish up. You know, I really think you should take them in to, you know, to see the doctor. Like, oh my gosh, who are you? Like, now all of a sudden you're, you know, concerned about health. You know, when I was a kid, I broke my wrist one night on a Sunday night. One of my sisters was chasing me. We had a pier and beam house that had three stairs down to like a family room. And my sister was chasing me. She was hot on my heels. I lunge off of the stair, fall on a concrete floor, and break my wrist. My mother would not take me to the emergency room. She gave me two Advil, made me lay on the couch until the next morning, because she wasn't going to pay the emergency room copay. She's like, "We'll just wait till the morning and they'll just put it in cast at the doctor's office." So 12 or 15, 18 hours of agony laying on the couch until I go to the doctor the next day. But oh my gosh, if there's anything going on with one of the kids, you know, she's just like all, you know, concerned about it now. And I'm like, "Huh, where were you 20 years ago? 30 years
ago." It's amazing I even survived.
Yes, it is amazing.
And you know, it's not just the family.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the
right,
troll game. Parents are getting trolled from all angles.
Yes.
Including from perfect strangers and from other people's children.
Yes.
I was at Chick-fil-A the other day with B.
Okay.
We're in the playground.
Okay.
And there's no food allowed in the playground.
Oh, there's not?
No. So my kid does not have any food, because that's the rule.
Okay.
There's another sweet little girl in there. She also has no food.
Mm-hmm.
Also following the rules. Then there's this little 7-year-old boy
mm-hmm.
who has all the food. His hands are just stuffed with French fries.
Nasty.
It's disgusting.
Yep.
But he's not my kid, not my problem. I'm just going to keep my focus on
okay.
me. So she's playing with this other little girl. Everything's going fine. And this little boy comes up to her and the other little girl and says, "Do you guys want a French fry?" I say, "Oh, no, no, no. Don't feed her." And he looks at me and then looks away and offers her a French fry. So I stand up and walk over and I say, "Do not feed her." Very sternly.
And this is
point.
A 7-year-old. This is, if this was a, like a 3-year-old, you would know he's not understanding.
Right.
Or
this is a 7-8-year-old
yeah.
boy.
Yeah. Right.
I walk over and he says, "Well, she wants one." And I said, It doesn't matter. I said, "Do not feed her. She's my baby. Do not feed her." And I really did not want him to give her these disgusting French fries. Why I have to defend that, I'm not totally sure. But I ended up telling him, listen, she's allergic to potatoes. Thinking maybe...
A major food allergy is potatoes.
I mean, yes. Major food allergy, potatoes. Don't feed her. Why I'm having to bargain with this kid, I don't know. Kid. But don't give my kid a French fry. So they go up in the jungle gym and they're playing. And all of a sudden, this little girl yells, he just put a French fry in her mouth.
No.
Okay, nice mom watching her baby play in the playground. She gone. She's left the building. Mama bear's out. I'm seeing red. He comes down the slide and said, well, she didn't go into shock.
What a shit.
What a little psychopath. Like, so you were just going to put a potato in her mouth
to see what happens? Like run an experiment here
after
in the Chick-fil-A.
After I already told you don't do it. So I say, where's mom and dad?
Yeah, for real.
And he said, my grandpa brought me. I was like, let's go have a little chat with grandpa. So we walk out and I say, hi.
Are the parents supposed to be in the playground with the kids?
I don't think they have to be. I mean, it has glass all around, but, you know, grandpa's a little busy on his Tinder app or Facebook or whatever the hell he's doing. And I'm just thinking
singles. Isn't that it?
I mean, whatever it is. So as I'm walking up, silver I'm just thinking, singles. That's please, God, don't let this be some 90-year-old grandpa who, like, I'm not going to be able to yell at because I'm pissed off. It wasn't, luckily. It was some maybe early 60s. And I walk up to him and I said, okay, first of all, there's not supposed to be food in the playground. But obviously, you don't care about that rule. You're letting him take in his food. But I very specifically told him not to feed my child and that she was allergic to potatoes. And then he put a French fry in her mouth. And I don't appreciate that. He looks at me like, okay.
No.
Dead
no
in the
remorse.
Eyes.
No. Yeah. Oh, gosh. No.
No, I'm so sorry. Let me pull him out. Let, you know, him go to timeout, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was like, well, what do you want me to do? I was
he
like,
ask you that?
Yeah. I was like, what do I want you to do? I don't know. Put your phone down. Pay attention to your kid.
try to participate. Yeah. Try to participate. I mean, not raising an asshole.
Yeah. So. At this point, I'm enraged. There's no talking any sense into me. And I just look at him and I said, you know what? I want you to remember this moment in 10 years when you're at this kid's hearing. I want you to remember this moment. And
like court hearing?
Yes,
like his
court
sentencing?
Hearing. Yes, at his sentencing. So I just pick up my shit and leave.
Wow.
Like, you can't even go to Chick-fil-A anymore without getting trolled by this kid and his grandpa. Like, just because I don't want my kid to have a nasty French fry out of some sweaty little latchkeys kid's hand.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you can't go anywhere. These trolls, they're relentless.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Tara, let me tell you real quick one other trolling example from kids that are a little bit older, because this is something you have to look forward to. Have you heard of Roblox?
No.
Okay, so this is completely off your radar. You don't know anything about this.
No, I don't.
Have you heard of Fortnite?
I have heard of Fortnite, right. But I don't know anything about it.
Somehow this is all connected. But let me assure you what happens. What this will cost you is $10 every 3 days.
Okay.
Sometimes and so if you have two kids, then it's $20 every 3 days. I know when this is coming. So when we get home at night, homework gets done, you know, the oldest has got to practice trombone, the youngest has got to do his reading. Okay. We get to the end or we're on a weekend. I will see a shadowy figure come out of a bedroom and with a relatively slow walk up to the living room. And I know what's coming. It's going to be the,
we need some cash.
We need some money, Dad. But actually they don't need money. They need the credit card.
Oh, okay, yes.
So, you know, they come up and they'll start with some other lame bullshit.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Hey dad.
What are we going to do tomorrow? Are we going to go, you know, da, da, da. They know. They already know all this.
Right.
Just some bullshit conversation starter. And then they get their question answered and then they kind of linger. And they always come
it's
up.
It's just so insulting.
Yes. Know? Yeah. So insulting. So then they hang behind the couch and the youngest is the worst. He'll kind of shift feet, you know, and whatever, and turn his head and, you know, just, you know, kind of be.
Oh,
there.
Is that painting new? Yeah. Like, nope. Been here since you were born.
And then finally it's like, so Dad, can I can I get a $10 pack? And so like for those who are new to this game, such as yourself, they're able to buy things on this game that then allow them to have other, you know, like other pieces of the game or ammunition or whatever, you know, they buy with this. So this is the troll, and you do not realize $10 at a time, you do not realize how bad it is until you get your credit card statement. And then you're like, are you kidding me? But they will troll. And now the older one, he's gotten better about it. He just comes up straight and asks. So Tara, now I think it is only appropriate that since we've talked about our kids trolling us, we've talked about other people that troll us, including our mothers and family members and strangers, I think we should get to have a little fun. So I think we should be able to troll some other parenting styles or some other parenting traits.
Thank you.
So let's troll some people. And again, get some thick skin, folks, because if we're talking too closely about you, you know, we're doing it in fun. But my first one is the parents that are the food police.
Now, so we're just going to go straight into attacking me.
Well, you seem awfully defensive. So that's an indicator. But you were telling a story earlier about Chick-fil-A and getting trolled by the grandpa and the 7-year-old. Just curious, what was B? Tell us what her, and we do not want any context, tell us what her lunch meal was that she did get to eat before she went out into the playroom. What was her food?
She had a kid's meal with some nuggets.
What? Whoa, okay. don't slide past it. You know that this is how you know I'm trolling you now, because I know you're just going to try to escape. What kind of chicken nuggets, Tara?
Some grilled delicious nuggets.
I wish we had a poll that we could put up right now that would tell us how much injustice is served to be by forcing her to eat the grilled chicken nuggets.
The grilled nuggets are good, okay?
Fine, but they're not the same as the actual chicken nuggets. Okay, so
I will concede.
All right. What else did she and she is, and for the record, she's not allergic to potatoes. So
right.
She's not allergic to potatoes. So then what was her side that went with her grilled chicken nuggets?
Chick-fil-A offers a delightful fruit cup that she enjoys.
Okay. All right. So she's got
some milk.
Now, do you allow any dipping sauce with the chicken nuggets?
No, we don't really do condiments so much. Okay. I mean, by we, I mean her. I love condiments, actually.
So just as a recap, the child is at Chick-fil-A, known for the original chicken sandwich, which is breaded and everyone knows, but she's never actually had one because she has to eat the grilled chicken nuggets. Also, when was the last time the child had sugar of any form?
B enjoys sugar once a year on her birthday via birthday cake.
You are the worst. This is almost criminal.
Sugar does a 2-year-old need?
I don't know, but you know, but annually I think is a little excessive.
I am combating so much energy from this child. I don't need to feed her anything to up what I'm already dealing with. Okay,
well, that's the only reasonable answer that you could come up with.
Oh, thank God.
Is a reasonable answer. But then while she's eating the chicken nugget light meal and the fruit and the milk, what are you scarfing down in the corner of the booth behind, you know?
Like many mothers in their early 30s, I'm quietly eating my breaded nuggets through my tears and washing them down with a diet soda of some kind.
And do you do condiments?
Give me all the Chick-fil-A sauce. Give me all of it and a little bit of ranch if we're going at it.
Okay, so just so
I'm
everyone...
doing it where she can't see, like a respectful person.
Maybe she can see, and maybe that's why she trolls you so much.
I mean,
knowing
maybe,
that
maybe that's
you...
why she's calling me Tara, because I don't let her eat anything that's any good.
All right.
Fine. Fair enough.
Okay, so the second parenting trait or parenting behavior that I would like to troll is the parents who throw the outlandish birthday parties.
This is getting really personal. We're really keeping this trolling in house.
Do you remember when you were pregnant, what was the one thing that I told you?
That you were not going to give me any advice.
Yeah. So see, I haven't given you any advice.
You're just trolling all of the things I am as a parent. Like, I'm not going to give you any advice. I'm just going to totally drag how you parent. Fine. No big deal.
I've been waiting. I've been jotting these notes down for 2 years now. So, okay. So outlandish birthday parties, we've seen them. You've seen them on social media or whatever. So did B have a pretty good birthday party this last year?
I mean, I think it was typical for a two-year-old. Hmm. We had 30-ish people there.
Typical two-year-old birthday party, 30 people. Okay, so where was the birthday party?
It was at this little venue, the Ritz-Carlton. I'm not sure if our listeners are familiar. It's just this, you know, very small, not well-known hotel.
Okay, now, and your reasoning from this, from when we first talked about it, your reasoning was, so on her first birthday party, what did you do?
So at her first birthday party, we had it at a friend of mine's gorgeous home.
Yes. Yeah.
And there was like 75 people there.
Golly.
It was an event. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to dial it down a bit.
Uh-huh.
So
you mean like dial it down in number of people, because you did not dial it down in the pretentiousness of the event.
Fine. The number of people. Okay. I wanted to dial it down. So we did a smaller venue at the Ritz-Carlton, but also, I mean, the birthday party was Breakfast at Tiffany themed. Where am I supposed to throw that? Chuck E. Cheese?
You can sell this. You can spin this however you want to, but I was just trying to make sure that the listeners understand is that you had a lot of people at the first birthday party, and you wanted to go to a smaller venue, and so the only option between A and B was to go to the Ritz-Carlton's brunch. What's their room?
The Sorrento.
Yes. That was all that was available, apparently.
I mean, if my memory serves me, I'm pretty sure that was the only available space in all of DFW. I feel like you had checked it
a lot of places.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So it's a 2-year-old birthday party, and it's at the Ritz-Carlton, and the theme of the party is Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes.
Okay. Are you leaving any room to go up from this 2-year-old birthday party?
Oh, I already have 3 plans.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
Is it outlandish?
Yes.
Okay. Then yeah.
All right.
Dig your own grave.
So.
Dig away.
So for her 3rd birthday party, and you know I've already consulted with Gina about her cake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're going to do the Great Gatsby themed, but we're going to put the 3 in great, you know, like backwards.
Mm-hmm. And our tagline for the birthday party is going to be, come celebrate the bees roaring 3s. That's cute, right?
Folks, I did not think it could get worse. And it just did.
Here's the thing. Parenting sucks. It's so hard.
Agreed.
And life sucks. Yes. It's also so hard.
Yeah.
So you have to celebrate. I'm a big proponent of celebrating the little things, and I'm sure as hell going to celebrate the big things.
Yeah.
So I admit I do go a little over the top.
Mm-hmm.
On these birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'm going to be trolled out of doing that quite yet. Anyway, everyone says when I have another kid, if I have another kid, that I'm not going to be able to keep up, but I don't know. We'll see.
My sister-in-law, that's exactly what happened. The oldest had all the cool birthday parties, and then the third child, if we remembered, like, oh, yeah, it's his birthday. We got to do something, you know, like, let's pull something together, people. All right, I'm going to give you a break.
Oh,
from trolling.
God.
From trolling.
I'm trying to think of some shit you do that I hate.
Trolling your parenting style. I'm going to move on to 2 that really don't apply for you. One is the sports parents. Okay. And honestly, I should let me be more specific. My kid is going to be a professional athlete sports parent.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're 18 months old.
I am totally great if you want to support your kids in sports and, you know, give them all of the, you know, all of the training and lessons or, you know, whatever. But the parents who put so much pressure on their kids that they, you know, feel like they're going to be a professional athlete, the percentages are so incredibly low just to play sports at a collegiate level.
And they act a fool at these sporting events.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, sir. If you're getting asked to leave a T-ball game.
Yes. Yes.
We have crossed the boundary.
Yes.
Of rational behavior.
Yes. And yes, we have in our community, there are now. I believe 2 policemen at every single baseball, you know, they play baseball on, you know, Tuesday nights and Friday nights or whatever the schedule is. They have to have a police officer there every. And I actually have a very close friend who ran a nonprofit that had a sports league. They actually disbanded that sports league because of the number of parent fights. It was a basketball league. They disbanded
league.
That's how crazy these parents are about their kids in sports.
That's insane.
I just don't understand what you think your kid sees when you are making a complete ass of yourself.
Yes.
And then you're going to run down the coach.
And then you're going to run down the 17-year-old umpire who's getting paid $9 an hour.
Right. And so, but the lasting effects of this behavior on your kids is not good.
No.
Because you know what? Sometimes you just lose. And sometimes it's not someone's fault. You just got outplayed. That's what can happen. So, you know, it's just not good to undermine. And I mean, these parents that are such fanatics about it, they end up driving their kids away from the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I teach at a college, at a liberal arts college, you know, part time. Trust me, I have some of these kids in class and they're terrible kids. Like, they have no respect for any authority because you've undermined that they are better than every coach and every.
Sure.
And it's like, please, I don't want to deal with your asshole kid, you know, in class or whatever.
Right. There's like an old saying, like, let coaches coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Absolutely. For sure. For sure.
Absolutely.
All right. What other parents? Anything else I do bothering you that you want to share?
No. I'm gonna give you a break. I want to keep it even out here. So the last one I'm going to hit on, moms, we love you, but please don't try to front that your mothering is perfect. It doesn't matter how many PTA meetings you go to. It doesn't matter how many Sunday school classes you teach. It doesn't matter how many family photos you post on Facebook. We know parenting is not perfect all the time.
Sure.
Just let it out. Just be real about it. Don't be afraid to
let it out.
We will admire and love you more knowing how bad, because I will tell you, I am probably my own harshest critic about parenting. I know I struggle with a lot of parts of parenting. And you know what? I appreciate when people are like, when they're real about it, like, yeah, man, somebody told me that their favorite times for picking for.
It was me.
It was you?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot. Okay, so what did you tell me about? You called me.
Sure. My favorite times of the day, I'm a working mom.
Yeah.
Is when I pick her up from daycare.
When you first pick her up.
I first pick her up. And when I put her to bed. Those are my favorite times.
That's so real, though, because like you, it's just.
When I first get there and she sees me and looks at me like she hasn't seen me in 100 years She runs and hugs me, and it's the most beautiful, amazing feeling, this reuniting.
Yeah.
And then we get home and, you know, I'm just like, how's your day? Like, you look so cute. And then we're home, to hell with me. She's going after the toys. We got dinner, bath, all the bullshit that you have to do with raising
evening
kids.
Routine.
Right. Getting them ready for bed. I was texting some girlfriends the other day and I said, it is insane the amount of work it takes to get your child ready for bed. Not even asleep, just in bed.
Right.
And my girlfriend texted me back and said, no joke, like, this baby is lotioned up, teeth brushed, lullaby, milk. And meanwhile, I'm collapsing on the bed, fully clothed, makeup still on. And one of the girlfriends in my text message, she's pregnant right now. And she said, oh, so it sounds like I should probably, you know, really start catching up on my sleep right now. And I said, do nothing but sleep. Do nothing but sleep, wash your face. I don't even know how many times I've gone to bed without washing my face since that kid's been born. And enjoy wiping your own ass for the next few months because you will long for the day that your responsibilities for getting to bed don't involve so many steps for someone else.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a crazy checklist. It's crazy. Okay. So that is trolling from the many angles that we thought were appropriate for parenting. Tara, now that time, your favorite part of the show.
I hate that.
What are you hating this week?
I hate the stupid questions that I'm sure all moms, but I'm going to talk about working moms.
Okay.
That we get.
All right.
When we're at work. I had a lady come up to me and ask me how I could be at work when I had such a young baby at home. As if I left this baby home alone. Like, I'm like, okay, bye, baby. I'm going to go out partying with my friends. Be back later. Like, throwing up the peace sign. And I looked at her and I just kind of looked around like,
Am I hearing this?
Is this really happening?
Is this real?
And I just replied back to her, well, I and my family, we really enjoy food and shelter. Like, what else am I supposed to say?
Sure.
I don't know. And then I've had someone ask me, don't you wish you were home with your baby? I mean, yeah, but also, I guess it depends what kind of mood she's in at the moment. I mean, like, yes, woman, I do wish I was home with my baby, but my baby requires diapers and clothing and food.
Right.
And my husband requires medical school expenses and all this other bullshit that life hasn't just handed me. Right. So I got to get my ass up and go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you this for all the working moms and working dads and all that stuff, like, I am a better parent for having a break from the kids.
Everyone is. No one can say that they're not.
Yes.
Whether you can find that break and fulfillment from going to your career or you need to just get away for a mani-pedi.
Right.
Every parent needs some time to recharge those batteries and
I agree.
Talk to an adult.
I agree. Because I just think that reset and, you know, and all that is hugely important. But let's face it. Most households now, you know, are two income. I mean, it's expensive. So most households are two income. So if you are someone who wants to stay home and who has the ability to, great. But for the rest of us, we don't have that opportunity.
Right. Exactly. And don't walk up to us and try to make us feel guilty about what we're doing. I think everyone, and we've joked a lot during this podcast about, you know, other parents and our own parenting and our kids. Everyone's doing their best here.
Right.
You know, we're all in this together.
Right. Yes.
Don't be the jerk who walks up and asks someone why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Matt, what about you? What do you hate?
Okay. So this week, since we're talking about parenting, I hate seventh grade Texas history.
Okay. That's very specific.
So the oldest is in seventh grade and embarrassingly brought home a blank Texas map that required a significant amount of filling in where the cities, I mean, there was nothing other than the outline of the state. And we had to go in, well, he had to identify like 40 cities and all of this stuff or whatever. And I absolutely looked like a buffoon because I couldn't figure out where Corpus Christi was versus where Houston was. And I was like, I mean,
you're giving him so much material to troll you with.
You're right. So, I mean, we're only so far into school. And I'm like, is it going to get harder than this? Because if this blank Texas map, and it was just embarrassing. I was like, oh my gosh. Because and of course, you're going to go through this. When your kids are in school, you're going back to school, like, because you've got to help with homework and all that stuff. So even though you thought I'm done with Texas history or I'm done with math or whatever it is. Oh, yeah. Guess what? You're going to have to remember how to multiply
fractions in session.
So get ready for that. So this week I'm hating the Texas history class that my oldest is in.
Love that. All right, you guys, this is going to bring us to the end of our episode, Raising Trolls. We hope that you have had a good time and that it's made raising your own little trolls a little bit less painful getting to laugh along with us.
Just remember, we may sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram @DeeplyShallowPodcast.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience, but I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy. Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, P-O-D-I-G-Y.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.